flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Open lines, 248-539-9797. Gator's out sick. Hope everybody else is avoiding the bug. He's got a cough. I know that there's a lot of people out there that have been fighting it. And look, it's that time of year. So cross your fingers. We just had COVID. My mom just fought and defeated COVID. Stepping up in her 80s. Kicking COVID's ass. Well done. And tested. The reason I knew she tested negative is I got a picture of her watching the championship Sunday football games drinking a beer. I'm like, there you go, Mom. There you go. Good for you. So anyway, I hope everybody can stay safe and stay healthy out there. 248-539-9797. Okay, so we've got a couple of big things at least to open the show, talking about the Michigan response, Yahoo story to the NCAA. They're going to fight it. And they've kind of planted their flag and are digging in, which is not something they have done in the past with previous such cases. So what is different this time around? Talking to people that are close-ish to it, and I'm not talking about the football staff. It feels like they think they can defend themselves against the most serious of allegations. There is stuff here that needs to get addressed and questions that need to get answered. And when you go in front of the Committee on Infractions, you will have to answer those questions. And I know that there is a lot of what about this, what about that? And so what about it? And they'll have to answer those questions, but they seem to be comfortable in how they will answer said questions. So we'll get, if you want to get into that, continue down that road, 248-539-9797. NBA trade deadline, a new name added to the mix yesterday, De'Aaron Fox, according to Shams at ESPN. Could the Pistons get him? Long shot, but they could be the third team involved as a facilitator getting a deal done. Rumor is his preferred destination is San Antonio, and that would mean some shuffling of some salary, and you might end up with a Harrison Barnes-type contract in Detroit. $18-19 million. Ken, you know, we were talking earlier, and you immediately said no to Harrison Barnes, and they said, well, maybe. Maybe a veteran leader can help you win. But have you changed your stance on that? Do you want no part of this, or how do you feel?
Yeah, I'm not into it. I mean, you have Tobias Harris right now, and I think he does provide something. Tobias does provide something for this team, but at some point when you're fighting for, you know, the 4, 5, 6 seed, I think you have to be able to help on the court as well, especially if you're going to be making $18-20+ million a year. I know the NBA contracts are super inflated right now. You're not going to find a lot of contracts that aren't that high, especially for guys that have been in the league for a while that have been good at one point.
Yep.
But I think you need guys that can help this team win on the court. And you saw the regime before that. They brought in veterans that weren't doing anything, and the team sucked. You know, they didn't win any games. And now they're winning games. And I want to keep that momentum going. I'd hate to lose, you know, what they've built up already. It's hard to build up, you know, young players that are just getting into this league. You know, you don't want them to get used to losing. Then that forms bad habits, you know, and that just snowballs from there. So Harrison Barnes doesn't do much for me. I'm at the point where, listen, I understand where the Pistons are as an organization. They're not going to get the big names. And most likely, they're going to be the third team in a deal, because there's going to be some deals made, and the Pistons are perfect to be that third team to facilitate these deals. But I want to take on something as well, as far as something that is going to help the Pistons move forward and win games, not just this year, but, you know, next year and the year after.
Well, look, I mean, it's what's interesting about where they are right now is you can truly make a case for just not doing anything, saving the cap space resource and giving guys more minutes. And, you know, there was early talk that Cade was a bust, but you just see more experience, more minutes, gets better and better. And, you know, it's kind of the Scott Harris philosophy is don't want to block any young players right now. But losing Jaden Ivey means more minutes for a veteran Tim Hardaway. You know, he's in the starting lineup, and that's a player that you could probably, if you could acquire a young player that you wouldn't mind getting in front of. Cause they're not playing for this year, although it's important to take a step forward and a tangible step forward, and one that becomes the new floor, and one that becomes, you know, that you can see them going much higher with an aggressive offseason move that doesn't have to be done at the trade deadline, right? You don't have to do anything at the trade deadline. So, you know, in talking with Trajan Langdon, and my early thought is that this guy's pretty damn smart. I think he can see that that's, you know, it might be tempting to make a move now, but the move that's down the road that you don't even know what's going to come up could be better, and just let the seasoning continue of your current young players. But again, you know, Tim Hardaway is not young.
No, and he's a guy that could possibly be moved to make deals happen this at the trade deadline coming up. When we were down at Pistons practice before the season, and we did have Trajan there sitting with us talking, he said one thing that was clear. He will look at anything to help make this team better, which was basically saying no one's off limits. I think at this point you can say Cade Cunningham's probably off limits. But other than that, I think he's a smart guy, like you said, and he's gonna look at everything that he possibly can to help develop this team moving forward with Cade. I think that plans changed a little bit. Let's be honest, Doug. I think they thought they were, all right, we'll get more draft capital come trade deadline. But the fact that the Pistons have been playing so well and flirting with that 4-5-6, if you can just avoid the playing game and avoid playing Boston or Cleveland the first round, dude, you can win a playoff series. You can. And I think the fact that they see this, that's changed their plans come trade deadline. We'll see. It's going to be really interesting what Trajan does at the trade deadline. I can't wait.
In the meantime, CBS Sports did a little story today citing Brian Windhorst of ESPN saying the Heat have lowered their asking price on Jimmy Butler in an apparent effort to hasten his departure following his indefinite suspension. Kevin O'Connor of Yahoo is concluding that Golden State will get back into the beginning, to the bidding, rather, for Jimmy Butler. And, you know, that's one that, you know, Jimmy Butler at this point in his career at 35 and the money he makes, you know, I don't see any tie-in with Detroit, but that is another potential big move in which Detroit could be a facilitator to help move around some salary. 248-539-9797. You want to continue down that road. Pistons back in action tonight against Indiana. They're not, you know, it doesn't feel as big a game as it was against Cleveland, but as they try and fortify their position leading towards the trade deadline, it'll be nice to see them define themselves as a team that's going to stick around, win this game tonight, the start of this five-game stretch before the trade deadline hits.
Yeah, I feel like every game's kind of big for the Pistons, just to solidify and validate what they've done so far, you know? Yep. And all the teams are playing are kind of in this lately. They've been that same area as the Pistons are, trying to fight for that 4-5-6 seed, stay out of the play-in game. Because the Cavs game, I know we looked at it like, could this be a big game? And they kind of showed, hey, they're not the Cavs level yet. And there's nights though they will be able to compete with them, but overall, the Cavs are the class of the East right now.
More of your feedback, phone calls coming up. Also, a ranking of MLB prospects has been updated. What it says about our Tigers. We'll get to that today at 11:20. And what's going on with Alex Bregman? Might be a big picture answer to that question. Again, 11:20, we'll get to some Tiger stuff. 248-539-9797. Hey, you were meant to have a great 2025. And to do it, to hit your weight goal, to get healthy or sleep better, you need to show some commitment. And that is right now the time where about 70% of people give up on their New Year's resolutions. But not you, not this year. This is where Show Some Athletics apparel comes in. It's the best workout gear, high quality, great fit, made in Michigan. Wore it yesterday when I was working out. Show Some Athletic apparel. It's got comfortable performance hoodies, long sleeve performance shirts, which is my personal favorite, clothes that are built to last. Use the discount code GRIT at checkout. Go to showsome.com. That's showsum.com. showsum.com. Doug Karsh, Gator out today, 248-539-9797. Glad you're with us. So, talk a lot of Michigan and NBA stuff to start the show. We're at a very interesting time because, you know, it won't be very long before we're talking baseball. And it's going to be an anticipated Detroit Tiger season for sure. Lots to be excited about. Given the way last year ended, is it as much to be excited about as we hoped? At this point, probably not, to be honest with you. I think I can safely say I expected a little bit more gas to the engine in the offseason, but they haven't gone there yet. We'll get into that in a minute. In the meantime, MLB, ESPN came out with their updated top prospects in the game. How did the Tigers do? The Tigers did extraordinarily well with not one, not two, but an MLB high. Three players in the top 10 prospects in the game. I used to look at rankings of these things and be jealous of other organizations because there was a lot of excitement in the pipeline. Now we are that team. Interesting, Jackson Jobe is still on the list at number 7. When a player graduates to the major leagues, they are taken off the prospect list because they're now considered a full-fledged major leaguer, but at this point, they still put him on the prospect list despite him making his debut last year. I guess we will see where he ends up, but he is still in the top 10 in MLB prospects. He is number 7. At number 9 is Max Clark. Max Clark is a very exciting young outfielder. Who just seems to bring a lot of juice to the game on top of production. I don't know how far away he actually is. I don't expect to see him at the major league level during the calendar year of 2026 or 2025, excuse me, but I could see him in 2026. And number 10 on the list is shortstop Kevin McGonigal. He has moved up quite rapidly. Middle infielder, left-handed hitter. This is really, really an interesting rating and certainly something to be encouraged about. In the meantime, one other Tiger made the top 100, and that was Bryce Rainer, the shortstop that they took last year in the first round. And I got to tell you, that is awfully encouraging. But as it stands right now, no movement on Alex Bregman. No movement on Alex Bregman. And it's getting weird. And some people, you watch the reaction to this and you say, and I see some people say, forget about it, time to move on. To which I ask, why? Why, if he's really, really taking his time, what is wrong with that? Now, does it feel a little bit to me like there's an offer on the table for the Tigers and he just doesn't want to take it? Yeah, feels a little bit like that. But bottom line here is, why say no more if if he's still considering Detroit. Why take yourself out of the running? It's not blocking you from doing anything else. If that were the case, if you had other places to spend the money, I'd go for it. I'm not a huge fan of what some of the reported numbers might be, but that doesn't mean I don't see his value to the team in the short term. It's the long-term stuff that bothers me. The other thing that's going on is Pete Alonso turned down a reported seven-year, $158 million extension with the Mets last year. And I got to say that both Alex Bregman and Pete Alonso are represented by Scott Boras, baseball's super agent. Is it starting to feel a little bit like Scott Boras is no longer the guy that's setting the market? That Scott Boras clients are no longer setting the market clients? I haven't looked at all the data, but I just find it curious that two of the bigger names still remain out there, are represented by this guy. And I can't help but think that maybe, just maybe, he overshot with these two clients, thinking he would just stiff arm teams into signing better deals. And it hasn't worked out. And I find that to be really interesting. Maybe a power shift in the dynamic is that Boras isn't getting what he wants anymore. Whatever whether it was tricks or not, whatever he used to do, whatever his formula was, it's not working the way it used to. Perhaps something to keep an eye on. And in the end, the players have to make a decision. All right, do I sign a short-term contract to try and play on this and earn some more money, or do I go back to the original? Could be wrong, but kind of workshopping an idea here. 248-539-9797. Let's get back to your phone calls. We go to Dom in St. Clair Shores. Hi, Dom.
How's it going?
What's up?
I'm a little upset about this Alex Bregman thing.
Are you?
I got season tickets in July. I was really excited about it. Then I heard that we were more than likely going to get Bregman. It sounded like, from what I've heard, that the Tigers were almost guaranteed to get Bregman. And now in the last week, we hear that the Astros are willing, Jose Altuve is willing to change positions. The Astros are back in the race. And I just don't understand why the Tigers can't pull anything together. It just seems like the past 3 years, we make no offseason moves. And this year, it's Bregman's handed to us. We have no third baseman. We need a third baseman. Bregman should want to come here. And I just don't understand why it seems like the Tigers aren't making any big move towards him.
Okay, so this is interesting because I think it depends on your perspective. At no point did I think that he was being handed to Detroit. And you obviously did. And so
I didn't think he was necessarily being handed to us. I heard on the radio a lot that in the next week we should hear something big in regards to Detroit and Bregman. And I've heard that for the last month, and I've heard nothing.
Well, I can't speak to what you've heard, and obviously, because I never said it, and I don't think Gator ever did. Gator at one point predicted we'd get some news. He just called it a hunch, and we have rules with hunches. You don't have to back them up with facts.
Yeah, thank goodness for Gator's sake.
Yeah. But so, Dom, at no point did I ever see it as this being a virtual done deal. And so, you know, it is... The thing about the Bregman deal is I like it and I don't. I like it because I think he makes him better in 2025. I don't because of the money that's being floated out there and the term on the contract, the length of the contract that's being floated out there, I feel very sure that it's going to be some rough years on the end of that contract. And I'm...
out of Bregman's end or out of the whole team?
Well, I think the Bregman won't be worth what he's getting paid for. If he gets 6 years, I think there's a chance that year two, you know, three through six could be feel awfully weighty.
I agree with that. I agree with that. I think that for right now, what we're building, I mean, we went to the playoffs last year. We have a shot. And I think that it just seems like the front office doesn't care about that shot at all. and they're willing to throw it all away and say, we'll try again in a couple more years.
Well,
when it seems like if we added Bregman, we would be a deep contender for the playoffs. We wouldn't just be a one-off chance in there.
Dom, I don't disagree. I don't disagree with this being a bit of a it's an underwhelming offseason so far. It is. I would agree with that. I like the Gleyber Torres story or signing. I think a one-year deal for him makes a lot of sense, and I think he will help them. But, you know, it is underwhelming. I'm not going to disagree with you there.
I totally understand Dom's like frustration. Like, we just had this magical second half of the year with the Tigers. They somehow made the playoffs, won a freaking series, right?
Yep.
And you want to keep building on that. We talk about the Pistons building on the momentum, but with the Tigers, same thing. And so I don't want to overpay for anybody. No one does, right? You don't want to pay for overpay for Bregman. No one does. But you also want to continue what they have and help the young guys out with some players. And we don't have a third baseman right now. And the frustrating thing is you do want to continue adding on this. So I think he got his hopes up. It's not like it came out of nowhere, right? I mean, they've been talking and everyone matches it up. You know, hey, Tigers need this guy. I have this position open. He's a good fit. So I think fans got their hopes up. And if they don't do anything, it is disappointing.
I mean, it's not that they didn't do anything, but they didn't do anything big.
Yeah,
that's an understandable emotion. They just better be right. They better be right that all of this young core is worthy of not being blocked. And that they're right. This core is going to get them right back to the playoffs.
But they were playing some incredible ball.
They were playing some incredible baseball. And if you start at the beginning, you don't have to play that hot.
Yeah.
You don't have to play 700, 800 baseball all season long. So if they settle into being well north of 500, get themselves in the mix. But I'm not going to lie. It is underwhelming. He's right. Now, the Bregman thing, he was interpreting it as it being close to a done deal. And I never interpreted it that way. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson. More of your phone calls next. 97.1 The Ticket. So I'm workshopping this idea that Scott Boras, the agent that represents Alex Bregman, that maybe the Tigers, as much as it's frustrating, this might be an example of an agent that is overshooting the value of his client. I just looked at ESPN's top free agent at every position list. So there's a starting pitcher, first baseman, second baseman, third baseman, shortstop, outfielder, DH. This is pretty amazing. Pete Alonso, best free agent, first baseman out there. Agent, Scott Boras. Alex Bregman, best available third baseman out there available. Agent, Scott Boras. The best available second baseman, according to ESPN, in free agency is Jose Iglesias. His agent, Scott Boras. Haesung Kim is listed as the best shortstop available. He just switched last October to Scott Boras. The best DH available is J.D. Martinez. His agent is Scott Boras. So, you know, we can sit here and we can be frustrated, and I am frustrated because Boras clients aren't the only people you're allowed to negotiate with. However, it does feel like Boras isn't exactly the guy that is having his clients set the market. I'd have to go through and look at all of his clients to know for sure. And again, I'm workshopping this idea. But that doesn't feel like a coincidence, does it? 248-539-9797. Let's go to Bill in Livonia. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hello, Bill.
Hey, hi, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
I don't think Alex Bregman should set the market. I don't think he's worth as much as, you know, $30 million times 3 years or $30 million times 6 years.
Yeah.
He's one of the top gloves at third base. And, you know, before COVID, he had a couple years where he hit 30, 40 home runs. A couple years with injuries. Of late, he's hitting in the, you know, mid-20s, 20, 24, 25 home runs a year. And if you take a look at the orange juice dome where he plays, down the line it's 315,
yep.
And there's no outs made by catching the ball in foul territory down by the corner.
Nope.
You come to Comerica, there's room in the corner, and it's 340 down the line. He's not going to hit as many home runs in Detroit, and he's already shown decline. So I think that he's a good major league player. He's worth two. Maybe you have to pay a third year, but maybe about $20 million a year. He would be an upgrade for the Tigers. He would really help the team, but not for what he wants.
Bill, I 100% agree with you. And it's a weird dynamic. Do I want them to add a player of his caliber for the 2025 season? Well, I guess the debate is over what is his caliber at Comerica Park. He would help them. He'd be their starting third baseman. There's no question. But I feel like he'd be getting paid for offensive numbers that he wouldn't produce here, most likely, with where he is in his career. So this feels like you have to accept, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe, and Bill, there might be some people out there that disagree with us, but it feels like we have to accept that we're going to overpay for this guy if we want him.
Give Chase Young a chance, you know? It appears, if the newspapers are correct, that he had an injury to a wrist or a hand. You know, when you're a hitter, wrists and hands are really critical, and if you're not 100%. So, you know, it would be great if they can get Bregman. In fact, it might put him over the top, but not for the money he wants.
I got to tell you, to put him over the top, I think it's justifiable. I'm not sure he would put him over the top. What does put him over the top mean, I guess?
I think they could win the American League with Bregman and one more good starting pitcher.
Yeah, a really good starting pitcher.
I don't
know
if they can beat the Dodgers, though. On a good day for the Dodgers, I don't know if they can beat them. But
I don't know that anybody can beat the Dodgers.
Just reaching out.
Yeah, no.
Thank you.
Appreciate the phone call. Will sends us feedback. Doug's fear of Bregman's contract won't look good is so dumb. The team isn't even close to league average payroll. Here's the thing, Will. They aren't close to league average payroll, and I want them to spend money. You happy with the Javi Baez contract, Will? You happy with that? You're cool with it. You'd do it all over again. Because I wouldn't. I want him to spend money. I'm not afraid. You're missing the point. The point isn't that they don't need to spend money. The point is, I think that's trending. I think that's more likely to be a Baez contract than a contract we're happy that they signed. So, Will, you know, if you're cool with the Baez contract and you do it all over again, I guess more power to you. That's why I don't want to do that contract. I'll be excited if he signs. I feel like I know I'm doing something. It's like, I know I shouldn't get that one extra beer. It sounds really good right now. I'm going to be hungover tomorrow, but the hell with it. Yeah, throw in a couple of shots, too. Because in the moment, it feels great. Yeah, let's go. More shots. Yeah. Woohoo. Party. The next day, I'm always like, ugh.
Isn't that the cost of doing business sometimes, though, Doug?
Yep.
Like, these back end of these deals, none of them pretty much work out, right? Nope. The problem with the Javi Baez deal, it never worked out from the beginning. But look at the end of Miguel Cabrera's deal. No one loved that. But you can't take that away because you got all the greatness that came with the first half of the deal.
Yep.
You know?
And to be fair, if Bregman was Cabrera's age when they signed it, I'd be all for it because I knew the bulk of that contract was going to be production.
Mm-hmm.
This one, I'm not as sure. 248-539-9797, Bill's in Ferndale. Hi, Bill.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm okay, Bill. And you?
You know, I just want to get off Bregman, and I think in Detroit we need to. He's been offered, reportedly, 6 years, 156 from Houston, and there's no way we're going to top that. So with the Baez deal handcuffing the organization, they're not going to have two of them. It would be way better if we just tried to go to Chase Young and we go get another pitcher. I'm not convinced that we got the pitcher. I wouldn't mind re-signing the guy we had last year. I mean, we need another arm.
Clarity.
We're not going to be able to. I don't think we're going to be able to pull rabbits out of the hat the way AJ did last year.
Maybe not. I mean, look, Jack Flaherty would be a fascinating turn of events given they would be a classic example of trading a player and getting him back. You know, he was pretty good in LA when he went there. At Detroit, you know, he far exceeded the expectations. He was an injured player, and, you know, he became a huge asset to this team, and they amazingly got better after they traded him. And we sat there, and we sat in awe, but you even wonder, what if they kept him? Like, if they had kept him, would they have done all this?
He'd likely take a 2-year deal, and it doesn't hamstring the organization.
If Jack Flaherty would come to Detroit on an affordable 2-year deal, I'd be pretty damn pleased. But you too, I'm just making sure I heard it right, Bill. You said at the beginning of the call, you too are leery of a Bregman deal?
I don't think there's any chance that we get Bregman. I think that the dude Bill from Livonia nailed it. He's on the backside. We got a bigger park. His numbers are not going to excite anybody. And the Tigers, with the Baez deal that they're still smarting from, they're not going to give him a 6-year deal. And Bregman's not going to take a 1 or 2. So I think we just have to move on from him and say, okay, where else do we go? Because we're not getting Bregman.
Bill, thank you for the phone call. 248-539-9797. Feedback here from an unnamed texter. I hate Scott Harris. I think he's terrible. He got lucky last year. I wish Ben Johnson would have taken him with him. So, did he get lucky last year? You can make that case. First of all, I don't hate him. And I don't think he's terrible. But did he get lucky last year? If you're going to say that, I assume here it's based on the argument that they sold at the trade deadline and suddenly started winning. And if you thought you were really going to make that run, if you really believe that, it would have been great to have Flaherty for the postseason, right? I guess then they wouldn't have, they were on Lorenzo in the organization. And that, you know, they did, you know, get back a player that was everyday player for them as they did make their run. I'm not sure what the future holds.
I'm
completely blanking on the dude's name. Who's a shortstop? Sweeney. No one, Owen Sweeney. It's not Owen Sweeney. Anyway, so you could argue they got a little bit lucky with that, but at the end of the day, I mean, is that your reason for hating him? Unnamed texter, last year's magical run was the worst thing for long-term outlook. They won't duplicate it, but won't stop Harris in the front office from saying, see what our young guys did? Well, like I said earlier, they damn well better be right, and they better do it again. Because that is, I can see why that's intoxicating, and they might say that we think this core is going to be great in the future, and we're going to be so glad we didn't block them, and these guys are going to keep winning for the Detroit Tigers. But if they're wrong, then they're just going to look like a team that put ill-advised faith in their young core and let an opportunity pass by. 248-539-9797. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former 3-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Karsh, Gator out today, sick. 248-539-9797. We've got a lot on the table today. We've discussed the Michigan response to the NCAA, bulk of the first hour. We've got some NBA trade talk, another name introduced, big name De'Aaron Fox, more supply. Could help out the Pistons, we shall see. Got some breaking news with the Red Wings we'll get to in 5 minutes. Also brought up, interesting, is something going on here? Workshopping an idea that Scott Boras, his clients aren't setting the market anymore. ESPN's list of best free agents still available include Pete Alonso at first, Jose Iglesias at second, Alex Bregman at third, Haesung Kim at short, and JD Martinez at DH, all Boris clients. So, I mean, somebody's going to sign Alex Bregman. He's not going to sit the season out. And will that team be rewarded for doing so, or will it be regrettable? And we apparently are right in the mix here. I have always found the numbers and the term that's being reported to be terrifying, terrifying strong. I don't think it'll be worth it. I think this has a chance to be, I feel like a better chance than not to be the next Javi Baez contract, but I cannot deny that if he comes here, he probably will and probably should be the starting third baseman and probably would help them win now. To what end? You know, I got to tell you, that's that's the debate. 248-539-9797. I could be okay with passing, but it doesn't mean that I'm happy with this offseason, because I'm really not. Flaherty would be an interesting re-sign. Borderline fascinating.
Doug, is there something like to be said, though, if you sign Bregman to a six-year deal, which you don't want because the back half you think it's going to be regrettable,
right?
That
might be what it takes to get.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said earlier, the cost of doing business. But you'll be excited for 2025. You'll have a third baseman, right?
Yep.
With the, you know, there's no cap and money, inflation, all that stuff. At the back half won't seem as bad. And plus, they are so below everyone else in payroll. Does it hurt as much? Yeah, they can absorb
that. If they decide they want to be big boys, they can absorb that.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, you can make that case. But that, I mean, that's like basically saying we got money to spend, so let's spend bad money.
Well, it's good the first half, hopefully.
If you could tell me 3 of the 6 years are going to be well worth it, I guess I'm on board. I'm hesitant to think that he'll be able to do anywhere close to what he did in Houston offensively in Detroit, but he would be still good defensively. Paul's in Shelby Township and next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Paul.
Thank you for taking my call. I listen to you every day. Great show.
Appreciate it.
I'm against signing him. Go sign Flaherty. At least you're going to get maybe 12 to 15 wins. And what's wrong with Verling at third base? I mean, I think he had 16 home runs and batted 257, and he's only 27 years of age. And I know last week, a couple of weeks ago, I said find some college kid to play third base. It's kind of crazy when I said that. But surely through this whole country, and maybe we could steal someone from Cuba and bring him out like we did Fedorov from Russia. That's all I'm saying. There's got to be someone to play third base to do the same thing this guy is doing instead of paying him $200 million. Buy a pitcher. That's all I'm saying.
So you'd rather roll the dice with somebody else and go get a Flaherty?
Definitely. There's no question about that. I know what I'm getting. This guy, you don't know what you're getting to play in our stadium. It's a big stadium. Surely he's got to be a kid out there. Like I said, maybe there's someone in Cuba we could steal, or Venezuela we could bring in here. We just signed a 17-year-old from Venezuela. There's got to be someone out there to pay less money to play third base and do the same thing that he's going to do.
Well, that sounds like a bit of a bit of a stretch. There's got to be some international player that can come in and play.
We said that about Fedorov, and what did the guy do? He's one of the greatest players ever played the game.
So your plan, let me be clear here, Tommy, or Paul, sorry. Your plan is to go sign a third baseman that is the equivalent of Sergei Fedorov.
Well, that's a little stretch, and I know I'm a little crazy, but at least we laugh. But there's got to be someone out there that can play and hit 16 home runs. And you've got Verling. What's wrong with him? What did he do?
Well,
look at his statistics.
I understand the Verling argument. I don't understand. There's got to be someone, because if there was someone, they probably would have signed already. They could do what you say. If there was a Sergei Fedorov of third baseman, an unknown Russian third baseman, or some foreign third baseman, I feel like you're basically saying, you know what my financial plan is? A lottery ticket. That's my financial plan. You know what my retirement plan is? A lottery ticket.
Sign Alex Bregmanov. And hope he turns out to be really good.
Yep. Yep. Okay. So, I mentioned it there that there was some breaking news. Have I lost it now? One moment, please. The Detroit Red Wings. Looks like they're getting a little help. Here we go. Helene St. James. Beat writer that covers the Red Wings. Just tweeted out, Patrick Kane and Vladimir Tarasenko back at Red Wings practice today. Kane on usual line with Kopp and DeBrincat. Comfort not skating, nor Petrie. Wings play at the Oilers Thursday. Big game against the Oilers. Be good to have Patrick Kane back. That'll be good to have Tarasenko back, although I was never huge on that signing either. But, you know, maybe he can provide a little something. But getting those guys back on the ice is good. I got faith in this Red Wing team. I really do. Maybe it's misplaced faith, but my answer is yes to the question is, are they going to make the playoffs? I'm feeling better and better, and it's not all related to wins and losses. It's how they're playing. It's all across, even in the losses. I think they're doing some good things. The totality, the work post firing Lalonde has been enough for me to say, yeah, there's too many veterans on this team, in my opinion. There's too many guys that do actually like a Patrick Kane that know how to win, like Alex DeBrincat. And I really like, I mean, everybody likes what they're seeing out of Lucas Raymond and Marco Kasper. So, yep, I've decided I think they're going to the postseason. 248-539-9797. All right, coming up next hour, get into some NFL free agency stuff with the Detroit Lions. Big postseason pending, a big offseason pending. Ranking of the top free agents. Do the Lions have any must re-sign guys on this list, or should they shoot for higher? We'll get to that in the noon hour. Also, a player said something that has everybody talking in the NFL, of course. And we should talk about it here in Detroit, and we will. All that coming up next hour. If you want to continue down the road with the Tiger Talk, love it. As we're getting closer and closer to pitchers and catchers reporting, it's like 2 weeks away. Still no news on Alex Bregman today. That is the news. Not sure what we want, although I'm noticing a trend with Boris clients. A lot of them remain unsigned. There's some bad advice given there. Meanwhile, something else we want to touch on in the noon hour. It's a disturbing story, something in Detroit. And I sense that at the core of it, we just don't care. We'll get to that today at 12:20 here on Carson Anderson. A reminder, you can stream the show using the Odyssey app. Download it for your mobile device today, AUDACY. Then you can listen to this show and all the shows. No matter where you are in the United States, think about it. You're listening to us over the air now, but someday you're going to be on vacation. Maybe it's soon, and you're going to hear that Detroit has just acquired, and you're going to be like, oh my God, you're going to wish you had the app. So get it today, AUDACY. And if you download the Odyssey app and listen to 97.1 The Ticket on the app, you have a chance to win that ultimate trip to Vegas you've heard talked about. So make sure you have it. Also stream to our website, 971theticket.com. Streaming with video, go to twitch.tv, search up 971 The Ticket. Same thing with youtube.com. And then there's a streaming chat on both sites, you can participate in, and heck, you never know. Sometimes we read your comments on the air. My hat today, getting a lot of comments, good and bad. So if you want to watch, go to twitch.tv, youtube.com. It's Carson Anderson, Gator Out Sick, 97.1 The Ticket.